going with us together. And I thank you that some of here will be out there watching in the week and learning and growing again. So I thank you, because this is how we grow. What you feed grows. What you starve dies. All right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't get a drink. There's a lot on my heart. I'm trying to just, I really do want to just be very, we've been discussing Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 that says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And this has been made a challenge because people often don't know what it means to walk in the Spirit. They're like, well, what does that mean? How does that look like? So we've taken a couple of weeks. This will be our third week that we're looking at this. So I encourage you, if things are still fuzzy, go back to week one and go over week one. And then you're going to, when you get to week two, you might have to go through week two twice. You can watch it, and then you're going to hopefully in the near future, you'll be able to just listen to it. If you go to our website, you can listen to the audio because it's 45 minutes long, where the video is only 29 minutes long. We're not sure what happened there, but we're working on making it not happen again. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Sounds easy. But I know I was brought up that if I'll just do this, this, and this, then I won't be doing this, this, and this. Does that make sense? But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible does not say, go over here and do all these really good things, and then you won't be doing all the bad things. That's the same as if I took you and I tied you up and set you in the chair up front. As long as you're tied up and set in that chair, I can keep you from breaking at least 9 of the 10 commandments. But there's one I can't. Do you know which one it is? There's two. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Have no other gods before you. That's a definite. I can tie you up in that chair. You're not going to murder. You're not going to steal. You're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to do a whole lot of things, but what you set your heart and mind to, I can't stop. What you set your heart and mind and mouth to, I can't stop. But if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if you read on, it tells you what those lusts of the flesh are. And I'm encouraged, don't do that right now. Don't worry about that. If you read past the lust of the flesh, then you get to the fruit of the Spirit. And a lot of times we look at, okay, I need to know what the fruit of the Spirit are. Well, actually, I want to take it even a step further, because you can't get to knowing what the fruit of the Spirit is if you don't even know how to walk in the Spirit. So Romans chapter 8, go there with me. Romans chapter 8, verses, I think we pick it up in about verse 3. Romans chapter 8, verse 3 says, for what the law could not do that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. Look at this. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Here's the first mention of not walking according to flesh, but walking according to the Spirit. Now, if you go over to Colossians, and this is another major, these are the top scriptures that we're looking at together in this series to understand what walking in the Spirit looks like. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. So we spent the last 2 weeks looking at, wait a minute, if I'll set my mind on things above and not on things of the earth, then that means that's how I literally walk in the Spirit. See, if you've been born again, Christ lives in you. But when do you seek him so you find him? When do you look to him so you know? See, this is why we tell you, you have to get inside this word. You literally, and I'm almost getting ahead of my notes. I'm almost, thank you, Holy Spirit. If we get far enough, I want to help you understand your relationship to the word is in direct connection to your relationship to the Holy Spirit. See, there's people that are teaching, oh, you don't need the word, you have the Spirit. No, that is not Bible. It is by his word and his Spirit. They agree. If the Spirit tells you something that's not in this word, it's a wrong, lying spirit. If what the Spirit, and you say, oh, I heard from the Spirit, I heard from God. I just had a whole mess of illustrations because you would not believe how many times people have come to me and told me things. Oh, God told me I could do this. It's okay, Pastor. God told me I can go and date her, sleep with her because she's going to be born again at this date. It's not in the Word. It's not in the Word. That was not the Spirit of God speaking to you. That was the spirit of your dumb flesh. That was a lying spirit. Because the Word says, don't fornicate. The Word says that if you burn, then get married. So the Word tells us what to do. That was free. Wasn't in my notes. Look here. Set your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. So what does it look like? Hold your finger there if you need to, because I'm sure we'll be back. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians, go the other direction in your Bible. I mean, you know, I've been using an electronic Bible for so long, and about a year ago, I think the Holy Spirit gave me this new Bible, and I'm just enjoying. But it takes time to retrain your brain how to get there, because I'm easy to click at the top and click, 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 and I'm there. And now I have to set my mind on things above. I just gave you the truth. I have to set my mind on things above. Now think about that, how simple that was right there. I learned in children's church, Sunday school, and things like that, the books of the Bible. We learned a little song, how to sing the books of the Bible. There's a few in this room that if I called on you, you could do it. You could sing the books of the Bible. And so when I go, I have to sing. I have to set my mind on things above and think about the books of the Bible just to get to the books of the Bible. Does that make sense? See, and that didn't even hurt you. That was an easy illustration. So where was I going? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How much of your mind is being renewed? How much of the spirit of your mind are you letting get renewed? How much will you let God change the way you think? Now, today what we want to primarily look at is what is called the law of focus. The law of focus. You say, I don't remember that in the Ten Commandments. How many of y'all know that when the word the law is used, it's not just referencing the written law? Okay? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. That meant all the written word. All of it. Not just the 10. Because how many of y'all know there wasn't just 10? It was 613. It was 613 laws. But they were given to the Jewish people. They weren't given to us. Those laws are good and they're important. But if you let me show you. You want to meditate on the law? It's just going to lead you to death. The law strengthens sin. So if you focus on, I'm not gonna, I can assure you, you're about to gonna. Don't make me get personal, because this gets real personal. But we've all done it. I'm not gonna eat that chocolate cake. Why did you bring the chocolate cake in the house? If you didn't bring it in the house, of course you wouldn't eat it. But you sat at the house. You began to imagine the chocolate cake. You began to picture the chocolate cake. You began to focus on the chocolate cake. And then you went to Amazon.com and you ordered the chocolate cake. And when it showed up in the mail, you realized a day later, I really don't need that chocolate cake. So now you're trying to resist the chocolate cake. But you ordered the chocolate cake. How many of y'all know I ain't talking about chocolate cake? See, what you set your focus on, what you focus on begins to change your life. It begins to direct your path. What you focus on, what you look at, begins to direct your heart. I pick chocolate cake because it's easy. It's easy. Do you realize if think of another easy one. No. I need to get a little more personal. You know. Let me put it this way. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's easy. Thank you. A loved one of mine had an experience, and they knew, and no, they're not in the room, so I'll just help you with that. A loved one of mine had an experience, and they knew at that experience that they would enter the medical field. They liked what they did. It was cool. And they figured they'd enter the medical field. So they began to focus on what it would take to get into the medical field. Is there anything wrong with this? Nod your head this direction. Nothing wrong with this. So what have you set your mind on? Have you set your mind on knowing God? Because if you know God, you'll know the medical field. He will lead you and guide you into all truth. How many of y'all know that the medical field don't know all the truth? That should have been like a run around the room hallelujah thing. Okay? We all know the medical, they don't get the final answer. It is written is the final answer. But see, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. So if God has gifted you, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. This was a mistake, and I'm trying to correct it even in this house. I've tried to correct it in my home. Okay? So no condemnation. We've all done this. I was brought up being told, and not so much by my parents, but by the system in the world and in the culture that I was brought up into. And many of you were told the same thing. The Army advertisement. Be all you can be. That's not Bible. That's the world. I get it. You love your kids and you say, hey, honey, you are so beautiful. You are so strong. You're such a big kid. You can be anything you want to be. If they're a believer, that is not what God's word says. Jeremiah chapter 1 says, I knew you before I formed you. And I separated you out to be a prophet to the nations. So if God called Jeremiah and separated him, called him to be a prophet to the nations. Did Jeremiah have to do it? Nod your head this way. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm about to bump up against a sacred cow. God's will doesn't always happen, ladies and gentlemen. You have a free will. Jeremiah could have said, no, thank you. If you read in there, he began to make excuses. He said, Lord, I can't speak. it was either Jeremiah or Isaiah. Now I might be getting my prophets mixed up. One of them, he said, do not say again, I am just a youth. God told him, don't say it again. Do not say it again. Do not say I am just a youth. So what would he be saying to us? See, you can't be whatever you want to be. God has called you out. He has separated you for such a time as this. This is our place. This is our time. And when we begin to understand that God has called us and he has separated us unto himself, he's living in us and we have gifts and callings, and it's not always about being behind one of these. It is literally, oh, and I wrote it down. I'm gonna help you here. Not in my notes, technically. Write this down, I'll say it, and I'll probably have to say it more than once. What is ministry? Ministry is your relationship to and with God that results in overflow that impacts the lives around you. Now put that on your hat for those of you who think, well, I'm not called to go into the ministry, or I'm not sure if I'm called to go in the ministry. If we can help you redefine, because unfortunately the religious world has said, this is ministry. Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. No, those are five gifts to the church. Those are five gifts to the church that help the church grow. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says, I've given you these to help the whole body of Christ grow. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, it says that we've all been called to the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ. And if we'll begin to really understand that ministry, our ministry means my relationship with him and to him. And in that relationship, as I worship God, as I know God, as I begin to seek him and find him, he changes my life. And then him through me, lives around me begin to change. See, I can't be the husband that God has called me to be. How many of y'all know he's called me to be a good husband? A really good husband. Heather's not in the room. I could go here. He's called me to be a good husband to my wife. Why? Because we chose to love one another. We chose to enter into a covenant. We chose. God did not make Heather marry me. I know some of you think, well, he had to have. No. She saw me and went, that's a fine specimen of a man. I want him. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. If she says anything else, it's the spirit of lying. No, man, if you even knew the truth about that. The first time, I know this might be hard for some of you to comprehend, but the first time Heather saw me, I was totally impressed. That's easy. I saw Heather and I was in right there. I was like, done. And I told the guy I took, because she has a twin sister, I said, you do whatever you want over here, but don't even look at her. Don't even think about her. Don't even consider her. Because I'm going after that. What did I do? I set my mind. I began to focus. Was it a bad thing that I focused? No. But do I unfocus? Do I quit focusing? Now think about that just right there. If I quit focusing on winning Heather and being a good husband, how many of y'all know it's going to be a really quick time and I'm going to start doing some not so wise things? Does that make sense? No condemnation. I'm using me. But if I don't focus on things above and not on things of the earth, I can stop being a good husband in a quick hurry. Do you want to know why pastors have affairs on their wives? And I'm not talking about an affair out with another woman. I'm talking about having an affair with the church. Because they set the relationship of the church in front of their relationship with their wife. Not a good idea. That's why I love you, but you are not the most important thing to me. My wife comes only second to my Lord. Because if I don't set my mind on Him, if I don't seek Him with all my heart. See, we like that scripture. Love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your mind and all your strength. And He will direct your steps. Well, if I don't set all my mind on Him, if I don't focus on Him, how many steps will He direct? Only the ones I focused on. That's why it says, you have not because you ask not. See, this is all about relationship. This is all about focus. This is all about what we set our mind on. And we have so many things that get distracting to us. So many things distract us. These are huge distractions if we let them be. How many of you have to fight when it rings to not look? If it, when it makes its little notifications, you have to. It might be important. Wait a minute, who's important? Who's in front of you right now? What relationship? What conversation are you in? I'll make you feel good. I sit down every morning. I get up. When I get into my chair, I got my coffee. I got my Bible. I get them both out. I get this one and I get this one. And the bad news is when I get this one, you know, there's a little prompt at the bottom that says you have 14 unread emails. And I cleared them out the night before. I know, so I got kids. They told me, I got a loved one who has like 3,000 unread emails. I don't know what that means. I can't. The temptation to not look at the email. What am I focused on? It will still be there in a little bit. I want to hear from God. I want to know His voice. I want to talk to Him. See, this is why I can't understand when people say, oh, I love Jesus, but I just can't go to church. So you don't want to go to heaven? Not that going to church makes you go to heaven. But do we understand that heaven is going to, hey, you're like, what? It's going to look like this? Hey, it's going to look like this and more if we start looking right. Now, we just sang, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. How many of y'all understand that when all of darkness is gone, is nothing but light? But if you don't like light now, what did Jesus say? They loved their darkness more than light. Jesus came and He said, God sent His Son into the world and His own received Him not because their deeds were evil. I'm in John chapter 3. It's between verse 14 and 18. You can look it up later. John 3, 14 through 18. He said that they loved their darkness more than light. So if we say we love God, but we don't want to be with His people. That's like me saying, well, I love, I'm going to say Heather again, even though chocolate cake would be easier right now. I love, because I don't want to say I love chocolate cake. That's too strong of a word. I like chocolate cake, but I love Heather. But if I don't want to be with Heather, where's my love meter at? That's right. If I don't have a focus on, so I get it. Listen, what are we focused on? What are we looking at? Because what we look at, what we focus on, begins to direct our lives. It begins to change us. I had all kinds of scriptures to show you. Oh, and I forgot to start my timer. I have no idea where we're at. Bless the Lord. Write this down, and you can go and read it. I'm just going to highlight it. Genesis chapter 30, verses 37 through 39, we see that Jacob got his sheep because he took he took some branches and he peeled them off, and you could see the white and the tan, and he put that in the water, and as those sheep gazed at that, as they focused on that, that's what kind of sheep they bore, but they had. Does that make sense? You follow me? You go look it up. It's all about what they focused on. Those sheep went to the water. That's another subject we're going to be entering into real soon. They went to the water, and what they gazed at, what they looked at, and then they became pregnated, and they had sheep with stripes and brown, just like the commitment that Jacob had said, I only want these. Is that making sense? Okay. What do you gaze on? What do you look at? There's another example in Numbers 21, 4 through 9. Just write that down. You can look at it later. I'm not gonna dig into it. These are just examples in the Old Testament of the law of focus. Numbers 21, 4 through 9, and Isaiah 45, 22. Write those down. She may throw them up there just for a minute so you can know how to spell numbers. Numbers 21, 4 through 9, and Isaiah 45, 22. These are examples of things that were, as they focused on things, they began to produce that. Okay, that's what we're looking at here. So with that in mind, what does God's word tell us to focus on? Go with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 3, which comes right before 4. 2 Corinthians chapter, am I in the right one? Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to jump in verse 17. I told her 18, but I'm going to get you there. Now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We love that song, right? So think about that. The Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. There is liberty. Where is the spirit of the Lord? He's in me. So look at verse 18 together. But we all, turn to somebody and say, we're in Texas now. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Look at this last part. As by the Spirit of the Lord. You say, well, that's a lot of King James words. I don't know what that means. Well, let me help you. We all, that's us. With unveiled face. What does that mean? Let me help you. Remember last week we talked about flipping the switch? Remember last week, instead of looking down here, flip the switch and look to Jesus. Flip the switch. If darkness is in the room, what do? You flip the switch. You look above. Lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Quit looking at all this. Now here he says, unveiled face. Now, beholding as in a mirror. If you go back in front of these verses, he talks about that verse 15 says, even to this day, when Moses is read, speaking of the law, speaking of even the books of Moses, a veil is on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When you've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and placed in the kingdom of his dear son, when you stop looking at yourself and you look to Jesus, you look up to Jesus, you look to him, and you stop looking at all your own self, your own righteousness, your own hurts, your own pains, you take your eyes off yourself and you look to Jesus, the veil is torn away. The veil is broken. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, All right? Now, the Spirit of the Lord, go to 18 if you would. So, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, here's the key word, into the same image. What same image? The image that you're looking at. The glory of the Lord. But what kind of quote, and I don't... Listen, I grew up in the time frame, and it worked out, but it wasn't necessarily a balanced situation. I grew up in a time where we were told you got to spend an hour a day in prayer, and if you're really serious, you're going to spend an hour in prayer, and then you're going to spend an hour in worship, and then you're going to spend an hour in this, and you're going to spend an hour in this, and before you know it, you're like, you know, I was supposed to wash the dishes. Okay, so I get it. But what is your focus? I know all the ladies know this. Men, did y'all know that you can wash the car and worship God at the same time? Oh, you thought I was going to say the dishes, huh? I was, but I wanted to help me. Now, is that total focus? No. But I can worship God while I'm doing these. Waxing the car, whatever, going out and doing some things, painting. I can do that. But what am I beholding? Is there a place that I behold his glory? As I look, I'm being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. See, as I look into God's word, Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good, perfect, acceptable. There it is. Acceptable, good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I want to know what his good, his acceptable, and his perfect will is. But I have to be focused. I have to get into this word, and I have to begin to read it. I have to begin to let it change me. I have to realize that I don't understand why this happened, but God's word says this. And it's simple. If you go to even like Psalms 23, I've been using it as an example for a couple months now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So if I find myself looking at something and I have a want, I lift my eyes into the hills. I look to Jesus and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through that valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Notice what I'm looking at. Notice where my eyes and my focus is. I've taken my eyes and my focus off the concerns. I've taken my eyes and focus off of the ways and the worries and the doubts and the unbelief. But you get there from glory to glory. You get there from day in and day out, moment by moment. Like I shared with you last week, unfortunately, it's real easy to just get worldly focused. And we're trying to help you with some of that. That's like even our Wednesday night now. Trying to help you to have faith for provision. Well, faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the word of God. So how can I have faith for provision? But if I don't know, God desires to supply all of my needs. Is that new? Did you guys not know that? That God he desires, this was his idea. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He just said, have no other gods before me. Have no other gods before me. Anything that you focus on more than God has become a God. Just let it settle. No condemnation, because it's called renewing your mind. It's called choosing. It's called flipping the switch. Some of you are like, yeah, but all day long I'm doing this. I know it's hard in the beginning. But it just says from glory to glory. From glory to glory, he begins to transform. If you read on there in 2 Corinthians, therefore, since we have this mystery, we have received mercy. And he tells us not to lose heart. He goes on, and we looked at it a couple of weeks ago into chapter 4. He talks about when we can hear the word. Verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. Well, we all know that we want to change our words, but if we're going to change our words to what the world says or what the word says. But if we're not, we can't walk in the spirit if we're not walking in the word. You're going to walk in weird. You're going to walk in weird if you only try to walk in the spirit and not walk in the word. If you have no... if I don't put the chocolate cake in me, I can't get the fruit of the chocolate cake. That's why we call it a fat pill. Does that make sense? The fruit of the... All right, I'll land. There's no place to stop. We're just going to have to come back and look at it some more. What are you focused on? Bottom line, what are you focused on? Will you flip the switch? Whatever's in front of you, will you flip the switch and look to Jesus? But you have to start. And again, this isn't about a law. You got to read this and you got to read this. And if you don't read this many hours, no. He has made you righteous. You're not earning your righteousness by reading more scriptures. But you won't walk in your righteousness if you're not reading the scripture, because you're not going to know what's righteous. It's the world that tells you that at age 40, things stop. Age 50, this happens. Age 60, you can't do this. Did you know the Bible says I'll give you 120 years? Adam and Eve had to learn how to die. The difference is now we have to learn how to live. They were born in an earth suit. They didn't know how to die. It took them 900 years to figure out how to die. We have 120 years to figure out how to live the rest of our life. Because you leave this earth suit, or you get a new one when Jesus comes back. But if you think about it, think about this. Listen, how many of us actually would know what it looks like to die without being sick? Most people don't know. They have to. The only way they know how to die is I got to be sick of something. Pastor Mark's mom was one of the first people I met recently. And she came. She had, I don't want to misspeak. She had some issues. And she wanted to have faith to be healed, but she knew her time was done. She knew she was ready to go. She knew she had done what God had asked her to do. And so she's like, I don't know how to die. I believe God that I am no longer sick. Even the doctors confirmed you no longer have this. So she's like, so how do I leave my earth suit? See, the whole world, that we've not been taught this. We've been taught that you got to die either in a car accident or of sickness or a disease or something. Well, why? What have we focused on? We've let the world tell us how to live our lives instead of God's word. We've let the world tell us what's right and what's wrong. We've let the systems tell us. We've all done this. If I came to you and said, hey, is now a time to buy a house? Any takers? If I came to one of you, anybody want to answer the question? Is this a good time for me to buy a house? You know what your answer should be? Did God tell you to buy the house? Not let's check the market. Not, well, the market is this and the market is that. Because the moment I go by the market, I'm not going by Christ. If God said, buy the house, then buy the house. He's not going to tell you to buy the house if you don't have the money. I don't know how I got there. Somebody must need to hear that. That wasn't in my notes. I said I was landing. Let's land. Let's stand. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Father, thank you for helping us. Let just take this couple seconds and thank the Lord for helping you to see when you need to flip the switch, when you need to stop thinking and focusing on what you're focused on and focus on His Word. And that Word, I mean, it's available. We all have it. We have it written down. We have it on our phones. We have it on our apps. We need it in our heart. We need it coming up from within. It's the Holy Spirit who wants to lead and guide you. And He's going to lead and guide you into all truth. And He wrote His truth down. And if we don't take the time to study that and to know that and to hear that and believe it and receive it and be able to go, it doesn't matter that the market said this. It didn't take God by surprise. If you let the world lead you, they'll lead you. But if we'll let the Holy Spirit lead us, we have this promise. He said He will lead and guide you into all truth. All truth. Now listen, this is where it gets. You have to decide to follow Him. He will not drag you. He will not push you. He's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And I know that's hard to even comprehend in this culture. Seeing a real gentleman, that's hard. We don't have a lot of worldly examples of a true gentleman left. But the Holy Spirit will not force you. He will lead you. That means He's going to be a step in front of you and you follow Him. And if He's leading you to do something, He starts small. Let's keep it simple. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for each one that's right here in this room. I thank you for those that are online who have watched. I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. I thank you for your Holy Spirit who's leading us and guiding us. I thank you for setting us free. I thank you, Father, for anyone who is still, they need healing in their soul, that their souls need to be restored. I pray that they would let go of what you have delivered them from, and they will grab a hold of Christ who you delivered them to. There's some of you in this room and there's some online that you need to get a hold of that concept right there. I'm letting go. It was a great testimony. Thank you for sharing it. But let go of it. And grab a hold of what God is doing in you right now. Grab a hold. It says, as we behold Him, He transforms us from glory to glory. Yes, He brought you out of that. Can you tell me what He's brought you into? What does that look like? How many of us would be willing? Don't raise your hand. I don't want anybody to look bad. This is a true question, but please don't respond yet. Respond to the Father. I'm closing my eyes in case you try to respond. I don't even want to see it. If we were asked to share our testimony right now, do we share our testimony of what God is doing right now? What He has delivered us to? Or are we still looking at what He delivered us from? Yes, He's delivered us all from sin on all different areas. But sin is sin. They all have different consequences, but if you've been delivered, you've been delivered. So what has he delivered you to? Can you share that? Are you prepared to share? See, this is where it gets cool. Because if I can share the love of God that's in my heart, it's the grace of God and the love of God that brings all men unto repentance. It's not about what he brought you out of, it's what he's brought you to. Because when we know the truth sets us free. You have loved ones in this city that they need to be set free. And they may have been bound, and they still may be bound by bigger or worse things than us. But that's because we're using us to measure us. But what happens when we show them what you've been delivered to? See, if I can show these young men, I'm going to use Bill and I so we both can feel loved together. If Bill and I can show our young men what it means to love our wives as Christ loved the church, isn't that more better than us sharing with them what he brought us out of? Think about that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you and we praise you. We receive your grace. We receive your love. We receive your mercy. In Jesus' name, so be it. Hug somebody.